Turn in your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And our text is found this morning in verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. In this text, and in fact in the first part of this chapter, the whole discussion is concerning the saints when they die. So when he speaks, for we know that if our earthly house, he's talking about our body, this earthly house, this tabernacle. A tabernacle is a tent. And you know what a tent is. A tent is just a couple of pieces of canvas with a pole in the middle to hold it, make it have its shape, and then you drive stakes in the ground on each side to hold it up. And that's what the body is likened to, a tent. The tabernacle in the Old Testament was a tent. And Paul was a tent maker. And so he knew about tents. And so he says here, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, that is, if we die, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And so throughout this whole section, down to verse 9, the Apostle Paul is talking about the believer and his death. And he says here in the text, for we walk by faith, not by sight. That is, we're not depending on what we can see or what we can comprehend. We're depending on what's been revealed to us. So I want to preach on this theme of dying men living by faith. The first thing that we will try to consider, and we may not be able to solve the question that I will raise. You know, that's that way a lot in the Word of God. There are questions that we have, and we don't know the answers. Preachers don't know the answers. Scholars don't know the answers. There's so many things that God has revealed, but he hasn't revealed all the details. And you know what he's doing? He's just, as it were, flopping a contract down and saying, that's what you're going to do. That's the way it's going to be. And I want you to follow what I say, because it's in the small print. We may not understand it, but it's revealed there, and we are to trust him through all of those passages that we don't understand. And someone wisely said it wasn't those passages that he didn't understand to give him trouble, it was those that he did understand. So don't think that those places that we don't understand should cause us trouble. We trust the Lord Jesus Christ to help us even when we don't understand. So at the outset, we have to recognize that when Paul raises these questions about the body dying, the soul does not die. The body dies, but the soul does not die. And he talks about there being a home in heaven. And we have now this tabernacle, but we have this that's going to be given us. You notice what he says in verse 2. For in this we groan. In this tabernacle we groan. We're always having pain. We're always having problems. We're always having conflicts. Earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle, in this body, do groan, being burdened, for not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now, he's telling us that there is somehow a body or a residence where we're going to be when we die, and we're not going to be naked. So let me just suggest these views. Number one, there are those that hold that there's an intermediate body to which we move when we die. There are others that hold that this is the resurrection body that Paul's talking about here. And the third is that Paul here is just simply referring to heaven. Now, we can narrow down what Paul has said by saying and by looking at a few considerations. Number one, there is no such thing revealed in Scripture as an intermediate body. So you can just mark that off your list. The Bible never talks about an intermediate body of the saints who die. All the saints of God who've died all through the ages do not have an intermediate body. They are with Christ. And you say, how do they interact? Put that down on that section that we don't know. That's not our problem. The Lord takes care of all those things. And if He chooses, for example, Moses, who died 1600 years before he appeared with Elijah and Christ on the mount, didn't have an intermediate body. He was in his soul, his spirit. You say, well, what was that that appeared? Put that down in the book. We don't know. The Lord takes care of these things. You have to accept that. When you're dealing with such intricate things as we are in this message, you have to remember the Lord hadn't revealed everything to us. He's only given us what we have to know. When people worked in the defense plants in World War II, I had two sisters working in defense plants. And my dad did a lot of the things they made. They didn't even know what they were. And the foreman would come around and tell them what to do. And they only got enough information to do the specific job that they had to do on that part. They didn't get any other dimensions. They didn't get any other specs on that part. Only very task that they had to do on that particular part was all they were given. And they said, it's the need to know. You have no need to know to do what you're supposed to do to make this part. It might have been for a machine gun. It might have been a part in a bomber engine. They didn't even know where it went or what it did. They were only to make or to do what they were told to do with that part. That's the way it is when we come to the things of the Lord. Your need to know is only what God has plainly revealed. And if it's not revealed, don't you get caught up in a spider web of trying to figure out things God hadn't revealed to us. You don't have the need to know. All you're supposed to do is to work on what the Lord has given you. So there was no intermediate body. So you can scratch that off your list. Secondly, this is not the resurrection body that Paul is talking about here in this portion of Scripture. And he is talking about us not being naked. So there is a place, there's something for us. And I believe that the third answer that I gave you is the correct one, that this refers to heaven. And when the disembodied spirit of the child of God goes to heaven, whatever form he's in, he will be happy and satisfied. You don't have to worry about that. That will be taken care of. Therefore, Paul is not here talking about what's going to take place when Christ returns. He's talking about what happens when we, as the children of God, die. And when we die, we have a place, we have a home in heaven, and we'll be satisfied in it, so we can understand at least that much. Now, we know these things because they're revealed to us in the Scriptures. Notice that there's something in this present state that Paul speaks of here that burdens us, because he says in verse 2, "For we groan, for in this tabernacle we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven." Let me remind you that when we're young and healthy, we're pretty well satisfied with things as they are. But you know, when we get old, and when our bodies begin to fail, they begin to fall apart. And I've visited in lots of nursing homes, and you see people that have such pitiful conditions. I remember seeing a lady in a nursing home, and she had arthritis so bad that her fingers on each of her hands had turned all the way back and were laying flat against her wrist. She couldn't pick anything up with them or do anything. I met a young man who was a quadriplegic, 18 years old. He couldn't move anything from his neck down. You see, when we get into things like that, and when these bodies fail so that we can no longer do the things that we used to do, you remember that one of the men that met David when he come back after the rebellion of Absalom, and he was some up in years. I've forgotten how old he was, but I believe he was over 80 years of age. And David invited him to go with him back to Jerusalem. And he said, "No, my ears can no longer hear music, and I can't see." And when you get like that, you begin to understand what Paul's talking about here, saying that these bodies are burdens to us. And especially then, the child of God longs to be where he is free from all of these things that he is going through. And we recognize that happens very often. Notice also in verse 8 that he says, "We are confident. We are confident by faith, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body." We don't want to die. We want to live if we have our health and everything. But he says, "We are willing rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord." And what a day it will be when we can be present with the Lord. Now, we find this doctrine that the soul does not end with death. Not only in this passage, you notice Paul is throughout here talking about dropping the body and going to be with Christ, to be in heaven. And there are several other passages that teach this same doctrine. Let me refer you to a couple of them. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21 through 23. Paul again is the author, and he says, "For to me to live is Christ." But he didn't stop there. "And to die is gain." Now I want you to get this idea. This is an important idea concerning the death of the believer. When we die, we gain. Now, most people think that when you die, you lose. Listen now. This is where you have to get out on the platform of faith. Faith says, when you die, you gain. And he goes on to say, "But if I live in the flesh," that is, if I continue to live in this tent, "this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I know not. Now, Paul said, I have a quandary here. I don't know if I want to live here or if I want to gain and go and be with Christ. Now, note verse 23. I'm in a strait. I'm shut up to this narrow situation betwixt two, having a desire to depart. The believer does not cease to exist when he dies. He departs. If you've ever stood on the shore of the ocean and watched a ship, it will go out to the horizon and it'll go over the horizon and you no longer can see it. This is what Paul was talking about here when he said depart. It's a nautical term. We're going to depart. The ship does not cease to exist because it goes out of sight. It's still making its way. We just can't see it. When we die, you can't see the spirit leave the body. But it does. And it goes to be with Christ. So he says, I have a desire to depart for my little ship, to loose its anchor and to go out over the horizon and to be with Christ, which is far better. You know, there's some people that teach that when an individual dies, that's the end of him. And the soul does not exist after death. I read once where a Seventh-day Adventist was talking to a man in prison that was going to be executed. Of course, the Seventh-day Adventists, the Jehovah's Witnesses, and some other cults do not believe that the soul exists after death. So here was this Seventh-day Adventist. He'd been supposedly teaching this prisoner that was executed and was going to die what the Bible says. What hope could he give that prisoner? Not one thing could he say to him that you're going to be with Christ. And Paul says, if I depart, if I leave here, if I leave this tent, I'm going to be with Christ over there. That's walking by faith. That's what a dying man who believes in Jesus Christ does. He, by faith, believes what is going to happen to him is that he's going to be with Christ. And that is a precious promise. And we can take that to our heart as we look into the scriptures. Paul was going to be instantly clothed, as it were, in heaven. He was not going to be naked without anything. He was going to be there with Christ in heaven. And so, when the believer dies, there is no such thing as soul sleep. There's no such thing as the non-existence of the soul. But rather, we will go instantly to be in the presence of Christ and to be with Him and to see Him as He is. And that is a gain. And we can understand that because we know that if we can see the beautiful vision of Christ, that it will be a glorious thing. Therefore, to be absent from the body means that we will be face to face with Jesus Christ. And this can be nothing else but our presence with Him. To be absent from the body is death, but it is to be present with the Lord at the same time. So the context here tells us that there's an existence of the child of God after he dies physically. He will go and be with Christ forevermore. Away from home means away from the body and present with the Lord. And that's what we are promised here. Notice, therefore we are always confident, verse 6, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. When we die, we're going to be absent from the body, at home with the Lord. Notice with me, this is top lady. When languor and disease invade this trembling house of clay, 'tis sweet to look beyond our cage and long to fly away. In the fourth stanza, he says, sweet to reflect how grace divine my sins on Jesus laid. Sweet to remember that His blood my debt of suffering paid. And again, the seventh, sweet in the confidence of faith to trust His firm decrees. Sweet to lie passive in His hands and know no will but His. That's what the believer has when he dies. He recognizes these things. Therefore, if we're out of the body, we're absent from the body, but we are instantly, there's no time delay, there's no purgatory, anything like that. We're going right straight into the presence of the Lord. And in the other hymn that I wanted to mention to you, it says this, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. In Christ's obedience clothe and wash me in His blood. So shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. Therefore we recognize the blessings of the Lord. We are sojourners. We're just pilgrims traveling through this land. This is not our home. We're going somewhere else. And every believer should have this in his heart and in his house, that his body is a tent. It contains the soul, and the soul is going to leave the body. It's going to break the bonds and leave the body. We're wanderers just passing through this world. And this house that we live in is nothing but a tent, and a tent is a temporary thing. Now, another reason that I give you concerning this, that our bodies are just a tent and our souls are going to leave, is from Christ and His own words. Remember, in Matthew chapter 22, our Lord was talking with the Sadducees. The Sadducees were a group of Jews that did not believe there was any such thing as a soul. They thought when a man died, that was the end of him. And in Matthew 22 and verse 32, the Lord, let's read verse 31. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Did you know there's not a child of God that's dead? Not one. All of the saints of God are alive. Their bodies are dead, but the saints are alive, and they are with Christ and have been with Him since the first saint of God died. Because He says here in this text, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. But those men had died hundreds of years before Christ was speaking, but only their body died. Their spirits didn't die. Their souls didn't die. They were with Christ and had been and will be through all the ages. Therefore, we recognize that there is an existence of the soul after death. and it continues to live. Do you remember that Jesus Christ said to Martha that he that believes in me shall never die? What was he talking about? Lazarus was already dead, but his soul was not dead. His spirit was still alive, and so is the spirit of every believer who died, no matter when nor where. Therefore, when we look at these things, we realize that walking by faith is not walking by what you can see. I can't see a soul. I can't see a spirit. You will read of people that go into all of these kind of things and say, saw the soul leave an individual. No, they didn't. They just thought they did. Because you can't see a spirit. It's invisible. But when we come to Scripture, we believe it because the Scripture says so. We walk by faith, and we don't live by circumstances or what we can see with our eyes, but rather what we can see through the eye of faith. And according to the Scripture, that will never deceive us if it's based upon the Scripture. He who walks by faith refuses to consider the circumstances. When Jesus walked up to the tomb of Lazarus and commanded them to roll away the stone, they said, Lord, it's not a good thing to do here. He's been dead 4 days, and we all know what happens to the body after 4 days. And he smells. We don't want to open the tomb. That's by sight. But by faith, Jesus told him to take away that stone. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. That's how you walk by faith. You believe what the Lord Jesus Christ has revealed. We look to the author and the finisher of our faith. That's our hope, that there is life eternal. Now, it's a wonderful promise of the Scripture, and by faith we believe this as well, that He's not going to leave our tents in the grave, because when He comes, He's going to call every one of His people from the grave. And they're going to come forth in a glorified body, just like Christ's body was glorified. And it will be reunited with our souls in perfect harmony and in eternal bliss. That is living by faith when we believe what the Lord said. The Apostle Paul said in Thessalonians, that at the last trump, that the dead in Christ will be raised incorruptible. There'll be no corruption. There won't be any of the sicknesses. There won't be any viruses. There won't be any COVID or anything like that. Those bodies are absolutely immune to suffering, to sorrow, to burdens, to sickness, and death. There'll be no more. Death will never enter into heaven. There won't be any more pain nor crying. The former things will pass away, and we shall be with Christ. Therefore, let us walk by faith, not by what we can see with our eyes. You're never going to be able to get anywhere like that. You're going to have to depend upon what God has revealed to us. Therefore, when it comes to the forgiveness of sins, what will you do? You must live by faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and your sins will be taken away, and you'll never meet them again. Walking by faith, when you're sick, when your health is gone, when you're coming near the end of your journey of life, what shall we do? We must walk by faith. There's no other way. There is nothing else. When time comes for us to die, there's no more that can be done for us. You can't look anywhere here. What are you going to be looking for then? By faith, we look to the promise that we'll be in with Christ in heaven, and that at the coming of Christ, our bodies will be resurrected and we'll dwell with Him forevermore. When we face death, we must again walk by faith. There's no other way you can do it if you want to live in peace. Notice with me what this writer said. Death and the grave are doleful themes for sinful mortal worms to sing, except the Savior's brighter beams dispel the gloom and touch the string. Therefore, walking by faith means that we look to Christ for everything. We look to Christ to help us live in this tent. When we have to leave this tent, we look to Christ to take us unto Himself so that we will dwell with Him forevermore. When we look at the resurrection, we look to Christ to do what He's promised to do. He said, I'm going to bring you out of the grave with a new glorified body and you will dwell with me forevermore. Therefore, only believers live by faith. Are we living by faith? May the Lord help you to live by faith in Jesus Christ.